in this lectureship and preacher training program. I always look forward to it. It is a lot of work, but it is something that is beneficial to me personally, not only in the study and the preparation, but being able to be here and to be involved in all the services and be involved in the classes. I'm enriched in my spiritual life as I strive to enrich others by the teaching of God's Word. I appreciate the invitation to come and be with you. I've enjoyed being with all the teachers and all of the students. I've especially enjoyed being in the get to be with Harry and Leslie. She comes to class sometimes as well. But they're friends, and we've been friends a long time, and I love them dearly. It's been a special pleasure to have Ryan in our class. He's having to do diagramming with me. I don't know if he enjoys that much, but I've enjoyed seeing him in the classes and seeing him and hearing him present lessons. I've known him since he was just a little boy. Now, we have connections with the Houston Astros. We like them better than the Texas Rangers. I know that's maybe tough here, but we do. And I know that he's always going to be paying attention to him, along with his dad, that as we go through the season. But what makes it a special privilege is that I've deepened my relationship to him as a brother in Christ. And the fact that I've been able to be with him means a lot to me. Every one of the young men have done an excellent job, and I just appreciate being a part of your life at this moment this week and to be with all of the men that are involved in teaching as well. I hope we can have another opportunity to do this. But tonight we're going to be asking ourselves the question, who is the wretched man? Paul says, wretched man that I am, is what he says in chapter 7 in verse 24 of the book of Romans. I may not know exactly right now who the wretched man is. I think it's Paul, but in what circumstance? But I know how a wretched man feels by definition. The only other time we find this word wretched is used in Revelation 3:17. You remember that church, Laodicea, was lukewarm, makes God sick because they're just lukewarm? They think they're rich. In fact, they have gained riches themselves. But you do not know that you are wretched and miserable. That tells me what wretched is. I'm miserable. Have you ever been sick over a period of time and you don't seem to get over it? They all know that you're sick and you've been down for a while. And how do you feel? I think you feel miserable. You might not call yourself wretched, but you feel that. And from the perspective of another, you will look pitiable. That you deserve pity, maybe not deserve it, but that's how you appear in wretched state. Having the pity upon you because it's such a dire state to be in. Paul says, I am a wretched man. And I want us tonight to see how he speaks about himself in that state. And then to make application in our lives as well as it merits. Number one, the wretched man, because he's miserable, from the perspective of God, he is in a dire state and pitiable. What we see in Revelation, Romans the 7th chapter, is that the wretched man is in captivity. But he's in captivity to the law of sin. When we drop up two verses before our verse 24, and we read in verse 23 or 22, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. I am wretched. What he sees is that in his mind, that inward man, he delights in the law of God. But he sees something else that is produced. It's in his members. It's going to be called tonight the flesh. And that inward man is a man that delights in the law of God, but I do not keep it perfectly. And under a system of law, I am brought under captivity of sin. Why? There's no forgiveness. And in that state, when I have lost the battle, he says, I'm wretched. We all fight the battle of sin. And we all have lost. And Paul recognizes in a certain place, he's trying to get us to see something, that in I brought in captivity under the law of sin in my life. When I'm in a particular state that we're going to be looking at. The problem does not lie with the law of Moses. He makes that very plain. In verse 13, speaking about the law of Moses, did that which is good become death unto me? That which is good, we're going to see it's the law. Did it become death to me? Is that the blame why I feel wretched, miserable, and pitiable? No, God forbid. Let that not be so. Because we see in verse 11, sin finding occasion through the commandment, sin's doing this, beguiled me and through it slew me, so that the law is holy. See, it separates us. Paul delights in it. It separates us from an unholy life. Remember in verse 7, I would not know coveting except the law said thou shalt not covet. The law makes this the state, but here's the standard from God. Thou shalt not covet. Well, what do I do in my members? I covet. I lost the battle. The problem is with me. The problem is not with the law of Moses. He says there it is holy, it is righteous, it is good, it is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So he looks at himself under the law of Moses. And he says, I've lost the battle. It's not the law's fault. The problem is in verse 14, I am carnal. I am of the flesh. I give in to the flesh. That's my problem. Because after I do that, I'm just under the law and I'm guilty. Wretched man that I am. He then picks a part of his being that there's nothing good about it. So I know he's not talking about his fingers and I'm not talking about the physical body. It's this mindset that he delights in the law of God. The problem is not the inward man, as Paul describes him here. It's something that he calls the flesh. And it produces members, instruments unto righteousness. It is a picture of one's action. And he separates that action from his mindset that I delight in the law of God. But he says, in my flesh, nothing good abides. In this way of going against the law of God, as the battle is fought, I give into that flesh. There's nothing good about that. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But in verse 18, for I know that in me in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. To will is present. But to do that which is good is not. Problem is not his will. The problem is not in that inward man that is separated from the flesh. The problem is this flesh dwells no good thing. That's where sin operates. How does Satan tempt you and me today? Just like he did Adam and Eve, just like he tried to do with Jesus Christ. The lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. I want to do what I want to do. It may contradict the Word of God, but I want to do what I want to do. And we do it. Lust of the eye, when I covet, I want. Pride of life, sacrifice any principle of right in order to get along with my peers. brings me glory instead of necessarily doing what is right. Satan has had a field day in that territory of the man. And Paul recognizes that about him. In my flesh, there's nothing good that abides. And we begin to realize what that is like in his flesh. There's nothing good. Sin is exceedingly sinful. Why? Because it took something good, the law of God, and used that law, thou shalt not covet, to allow for sin, transgression of law. And sin beguiled me. Had the law there, sin deceives me, I give in to sin, and in the, under the law, I am a wretched man. I'm a wretched man. I want to tell you, his whole being is involved in this. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I know not. I don't understand it. I don't have knowledge of it. It's not that he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't own it. From my will standpoint, what I do, that's not me. That's not what I want to be. I know it not. For not what I would, that do I practice. But what I hate, that I do. There's nothing wrong in this section about the will. It's just what I will to do, I don't know it. I don't own that, what is happening. What I would not to do, that's what I practice. And I hate, not what I will, I hate what I do. Did you notice that takes in kind of the whole part of man? His knowledge, his practice, and his emotions. He described it all for us. I don't know it. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got knowledge. I delight in the law of God. It's holy, righteous, and good. So I know that. I don't know it. That's what I'm doing. I want to be a part of that. And then what I would not do, that's what I practice. And I just hate it. There's your emotions. That's what Paul's feeling. Under a system of law, where there's not provisions for forgiveness, there indeed is no grace there. It's just don't covet. And when you covet, you die. Because sin has beguiled you. And here you have lost that battle. See, I'm under the captivity of the law of sin, Paul says. And that leads up wretched man that I am. See, when you are a wretched man, you've got some needs. You've got something that you need real badly. Because you see that state. And he cries out this way. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? It goes against what I know that I should be doing. It takes a record of all that I'm practicing. I will not do that, but I practice it. It takes in all the things that I hate about me that I've done wrong against the law of God. I'm all there, but it's all together. He didn't talk about bodies. He didn't divide him up between flesh and the will. But he says, I am the wretched man. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? His body of death. Because it has brought forth that death. But it didn't come separated from the commandment. See, Paul, the wretched man here, he at one time was alive apart from the law once. He said so. Now think about that. Law of Moses in place a long time before Paul was born, but he was born a Jew. It wasn't the idea that he was alive apart from the law once because it wasn't there yet. No. It's been there for a long time when Paul was born. But he says, I was alive apart from the law once. But then the commandment came. And sin got real strong. It revived. And I died. He died spiritually. See, when you're born this world, you're not born totally depraved. You're not inheriting the sin of your forefathers. Because you were born alive, innocence, apart from the law. But what happens when you grow and you get more mature and you begin to think of yourself as realize I'm responsible before God and you're breaking His law and you realize here's what God wants me to do and I'm not doing that. The commandment came into his conscience and sin revived itself again, just like it does in all men. And I die because it's strong. Because why? He's given into this flesh. And he died. I need deliverance. And Paul's asking for that. Here I will to do that which is good and I don't practice it. And when I see what I do, I hate. I am wretched. And this is my plea. Who will deliver me out of the body of this death? So where are we? Sin finds occasion through the law. The commandment is given for holy living, but I don't live up to it. Sin, therefore, because the law is in place, it slays me because I'm dead. There's no grace. I'm just going to be paying the penalty of that. And what it does, it shows he took the law and he beguiled me. Sin has beguiled me. And because he took something good to cause something so bad, it makes sin to be exceedingly sinful. But that's the way it is. That's what has happened to Paul as he lives under a law of Moses that he delights in, that is holy, that is righteous, and that is good. The problem's not the law. It's us giving into the flesh. But he's thankful. This wretched man is thankful. I am thankful. I give thanks to God in verse 25. As he looks back and he begins to see things, he says, here's something that has happened. Notice he says, I'm thankful to God. Give thanks to God. Don't pass that by. That he's thankful to God for what? God gave his only begotten Son. It is God's grace by which we can be saved from sin. He made us alive in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He made us alive when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You want to look at a pitiable person? Look at the people we are, that we walked in our own lust. We were the walking dead. That's not a pretty picture. Even our world doesn't paint the walking dead in a pretty picture. It always looks bad. That's what we are in the sight of God. We were the walking dead. But God, being rich in His mercy, verse 4, for His great love, which He gave through us to Jesus Christ, He redeemed us from our sins. By grace have ye been saved, verse 5. It's God's grace. You appreciate that. When I was growing up and a teenager living in Fort Worth, Texas, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was told, don't you ever speed in the state of Oklahoma. Don't you ever do that. And the thing is, there's no grace in Oklahoma. See, we can go 5 or 10 miles over the speed of 15 or 20 down where I am, and nobody's ever going to stop you too much, unless they want to. But I was told, you go 5 miles over the speed limit in Oklahoma, they may arrest you, son. Why? There's just no grace in Oklahoma. No grace. That's what law does. Law tells you it's speed limit 35. Or when it says 20, you better cut it down. Because usually they're watching those 20-mile-an-hour places. My wife doesn't get many tickets. She hasn't had many, but one day she was around the school zone. She knew it was 20 miles an hour, and she stopped. But all of a sudden, a mother with all of her little ducklings walked across the street and took forever. And she forgot. Kathy forgot where she was. She speeds up, 45 miles an hour, and there's the policeman. Now, what is her excuse? Well, the ducks made me do it. I've never had a ticket before. I was going 20 before the ducks. No. I mean, we had to go through probation almost because we had a big ticket to pay. But see, there's no grace. That's what law does. And that's why when you feel and understand you're in that state, I'm in this body of death, who will deliver me? I give thanks to God because I am thankful for His marvelous grace. But that's not all. It's also through Jesus Christ. I think that's where we see the love. I thank God through Jesus Christ that indeed there can be that deliverance from the death. And it's our Lord. Paul was saying, Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 20, when he speaks about his life, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God, listen to this, who loved me, how? And gave himself up for me. And he doesn't stop there. Because the next verse says, I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness is through the law, Christ died for naught. There's this wretched man appreciating the grace of God. And if righteousness is through the law, why did Jesus die? Jesus loved you and gave himself up for you to express that love. It comes from God's favor upon you while you were weak, while you were sinful, while you did not love God. He saw you and had pity on you because you indeed are dead. And Paul says, I feel miserable because I see myself under that system of law. And I need deliverance. And what has happened, the grace of God has brought that about. And the love of Jesus. And he's just trying to tell us it didn't happen through the system of law and the law of Moses. It's through the grace of God. But now. See, this is what I've been. I've been born alive spiritually. The commandment comes into my consciousness and then I lose the battle. But now I can have this no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Look at what he says here in Romans 8 in verses 1 through 4. I think we can appreciate this. While we stood condemned under sin, now there's no condemnation. Now it's showing there's a change that's happened because of the grace of God. So what has happened? Now, God's grace, Jesus' sacrifice, has been brought together under what? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what we've been talking about. But it's not the law of Moses. And the law of sin and death, that's the battle that we've lost, and we're under the dominion of sin because we're under a system of law. But what he says in these verses is that here is the law of the Spirit, the revelation of the Spirit and the gospel, but it's a law of the Spirit unto life because God's grace, because of Jesus' sacrifice. While we were wretched, while we were miserable, he's brought us to life. Oh, it recognized something all right. And what the law could not do, what law is that? That's your law of Moses. What the law could not do because the weakness of the flesh, friends, that's not the law of sin and death. Satan has a field day in that law. But the law could not do something He's just telling us in the chapter before. It wasn't the problem with the law, holy, righteous, good. It's spiritual. I'm carnal, sold under sin. But what it is that I was weak in the flesh. It's through the weakness of the flesh. That's the problem. And it could not make me righteous. It can't make you righteous. A law of the spirit of life, the law of the sin of death, and the law of Moses. You've got three laws in Romans 8, 1 through 4. And it's only one of them that brings together the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, we look back and realize that Jesus is the remedy for man's wretched state. For what the law could not do and that was weak to the flesh, God sending His own Son, there's your grace, in the likeness of sinful flesh as He became man, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? So that the ordinance of the law, the requirement of the law, that we always failed at, that in Jesus could be involved in His death of taking that away, that might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember in Romans 7:25, that with that mind and that inward man, I serve the law of God. Flesh, I serve the law of sin. And I begin to realize that here Jesus died. And through His flesh, He condemns sin in the flesh. That's why I don't have to be in a wretched state any longer. Paul is not speaking of himself in a wretched state as a Christian. It's as a boy growing up from innocency to being a wretched man under a system of law. But now, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus accomplished righteousness for those who walk according to the Spirit. The revelation of the new covenant, that law of the Spirit that produces life. We don't walk according to the flesh. And what we see in those four verses is really the blessings that come in that deliverance that the wretched man asks, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There's only one could do that. It's not just God, it's a gracious God. It's not just Jesus, it's sacrificial Jesus who sacrificed Himself, who loved us that much to die for us. Now, as we apply it, I think you will never see yourself as a wretched man until you appreciate the law of God, or really appreciate the grace of God, until you see yourself as wretched under a system of law. Put yourself under the system of Christianity. If there were no grace, no provisions for sin, after we become a Christian, we'd fail. He just said that he has no sin is a liar. The truth is not in him. He's not writing that to pagan idolaters. John's writing that to Christians. See, under just law, wouldn't have, but see, this law of the Spirit of life made me free from that law of sin and death. And so I realized that here are the things that I hate, here are the things I don't want to do, but I practice. And I'm in that particular state. I can have forgiveness under this system, but I've got to now not mind the flesh any longer. There's a change in my life. I've got to mind the things of the Spirit. I just make a note, you find any place in Romans 7 where the will of man is tarnished at all? That here is the flesh, and by the flesh that no good thing is, there is this will. That's why Calvinists say this is the life of a Christian. That Paul is speaking about Christian because your old man is still there. But they'd have to admit, that will is intact. He delights in the law of God. The problem is I don't do what I will to do. But I tell you what I do when I transgress it. I hate. That sounds like a totally depraved man? Nope. They'll look at that and see, here's that total depravity. But, ladies and gentlemen, Paul's speaking about himself under a system of law before he became a Christian. Doesn't look like he's totally depraved, does it? He delights in that law, not fighting it. What makes him wretched is I don't live up to it. And we begin to realize that here is this law that in chapter 7, 16 is a will. Every place to hear that he wills to do is good. It's the flesh that doesn't practice it. That's what Paul is trying to get us to see as he lives under a system of law. But ladies and gentlemen, the Christian is not the wretched man. Now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the battle is finished when we become a Christian. That I'm not going to give in to the flesh after I become a Christian because it's all settled. But you look at what is leading up in this chapter. See if the wretched man who is under the dominion of sin, is that the characteristic of a Christian? Romans 6 and verse 6. You know this is when we're baptized? We die to the old man. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, for what purpose? That the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. I just heard that in the wretched man. This is the Christian. I should no longer, the body of sin be done away, that we should no longer be in the bondage of sin. Because when we've died to sin in Christ, we're justified. You're justified. Why would you call yourself a wretched man? That you're so pitiable and so miserable. Are you giving in to those sins? Well, we're there in Romans 6, verse 13. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God, alive from the dead. See, that's what you are now. You're not a body of death. Who's going to deliver me? I am to present myself unto God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's exactly the opposite what the wretched man's doing. He's given in to that. He presents his instruments of unrighteousness. And we're not in the bondage of sin. It's not to have dominion over us because we're not under law, but we're under grace. Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes this about the law, that we indeed who have put away, or are in Christ, we are to put away our sins. That we're no longer practicing those sins. We put those things to death. And therefore we should live that way. So they are of Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh and the passions and the lust thereof. I crucified the flesh. I'm dead to the flesh. That's not my life as a Christian. Does that mean that we're not fighting the battle? Why do Christians call themselves the wretched man? Is it a matter of humility? Is it a matter that I want you to know I'm authentic? I'm not one of these people that say I'm living above sin. I fight the battle and I lose it just like everybody else. I'm an authentic person, you know. And like Paul says, I'm a wretched man when he gave in to sin. That's me. That's what the child of God is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true from the text. The wretched man is a man in a system of law, but now there's no condemnation. I don't live with being defeated by sin. I have provisions when I do sin. I didn't have it under the law. I have it now. There's no excuse for me to look at myself as being miserable or pitiable. I'm no longer under dominion of sin. Because of what Christ has accomplished. and what I am now in Christ. I am receiving no condemnation now because I am in Christ. The law of sin and death has been put to death by the law of the Spirit of life, the gospel. But let me close with back to the wretched man. Wretched man is a man that's not out here sinning and doesn't like what he's doing. It's not that. It's that, but it's not totally that. I know there's a lot of people in this world. They get drunk on the weekend, have a hangover on Monday, and they're miserable. They're miserable. But they'll be doing it next week too, when it all wears off. They'll do their party and they'll go through the same thing. Why? Well, I don't feel it anymore. And then they'll feel miserable again. And it may become such a habit, they may hate it. But why don't they change? Why don't they change? Paul saw himself as a wretched man under a system of law, accountability to God. It wasn't just, hey, I'm determining, I feel miserable, I don't like what has happened. But he's under law to God. You've got God. I'm accountable to my God. And I am dead in my sins while I feel like I am very much alive. But I'm dead. Because God has revealed that. I am bringing in God into my being. I realize that's the difference. That's where Paul is. And that's where a lot of people aren't. Who are sowing to the flesh and they're reaping corruption. And they don't like what they see. A man loses his temper in his home. And he yells at his wife and he yells at the children. They run to the rooms. They cry. And he sits down in a sobering moment after he's unleashed his venom and done his damage. And he hates it. And he'll go to his wife and say, I promise I won't do that again. He feels bad. Children have had to hear that. He didn't like that. But the next time something sets him off, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Until you realize that you're a wretched man under the condemnation of God, I don't think you'll make a change that will help you to overcome those bad habits. That's Paul. That's the wretched man. That he wasn't just out here feeling bad about what he did and what he accomplished. He realized that I'm under a system of law and I'm dead in my sins. See, we're not, most of us, I don't know if any of us are Jews, but you're not under the law of Moses anymore if you are. Some of us never have been. We're Gentiles. So are we free? No, because Paul says in Romans 1 and 18 that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And you know, he specifies some of the things that the Gentile nations were doing. And young people, do you know what one of them was? In Romans 1 and verse 30, they were disobeying their parents. Is that bad? Yeah. But see, how you figure it. I may act like I'm obeying my parents, but you know when I get off with my friends, I'll do what I want to do. And my parents really don't know who I'm hanging out with, and they may not even understand. I'll keep that apart, and I'll just live with that. Why? Why would you live with that? Because I don't have God in my conscience. I broke God's law. I don't have that. I'll just keep living that way. And then all of a sudden you realize, I've disobeyed God. And disobeying parents is bad. That was deceit. Deceit. You know that word? We have a word called decoy. You know why a lot of ducks die? Not getting hit by my wife's car, that's for sure. They see a decoy in the pond and they kind of go that way. It looks real. And then they get shot out of the sky. Decoy, deceit. Romans 1 speaks about that as well. You ever lie about another person? Because that same grouping has whispering and backbiting. You won't say it to their face, but you whisper. Don't let a lot of people know. Just, I want you to know what's happening here. Is that really bad stuff? Yeah. But it's not that bad if you don't recognize you're under God's wrath because you've disobeyed His law. So this evening I extend the invitation to you. And you may be in your sins, and it may not be such a bad thing because, see, that's just the way you are. Lose my temper sometime. But when you get a hold of the truth that Paul is trying to get us to see, when you see yourself under God's condemnation because we violated His will, we violated His law, you can then cry out, I am the wretched man. I need help. I need forgiveness because I'm in this body of death. Who can deliver me? I've got some good news for you. The grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ has provided it for you. It's contained in the law of the Spirit of life that make you free from the law of sin and death. Why not come tonight seeing yourself as God sees you? And being saved as God will save you. Obey the gospel. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Because now you can have no condemnation in Christ. That is a wonderful way to leave this auditorium. No condemnation because you're in Christ. We're here to assist you. We hear your good confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We can baptize you into Christ. You can be raised to walk in a newness of life. No longer under the bondage of sin. No longer a wretched man. Come as we stand and as we sing.